Turn in your Bibles to the 15th chapter of the book of Luke. I shall begin reading with verse 11 and read through verse 24. While Tim was singing, I thought of the song, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. When upon life's billows you are tempted, talk. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. In the 15th chapter of the book of Luke, I read to you the story of the prodigal son. And prior to reading, let me say there are not only multiple prodigal sons, but there are multiple prodigal daughters and prodigal fathers and prodigal mothers that need to come back to the Father's house. In the deep Southland where I'm from, I read of a young man who became exceedingly rebellious against his own father and mother and left home vowing he would never enter their Christian home again. After many years, even after his father had died, he did not know about it nor come to the funeral. Broken and dissipated, he decided to come back home. And when he got off the train and walked toward his country home, he had to pass a cemetery. And there was a mound of a new-made grave with beautiful flowers, and his curiosity got the best of him, and he stopped and looked, and on the little marker on this fresh grave was the name of his mother. And he draped himself upon those flowers and that grave and cried out, "Who will pray for me now?" Luke 15, beginning with verse 11. And he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain or greedily filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his precious word. For this my son was dead, verse 24, and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be met. I leave with your thinking three simple things this morning that are not grammatically beautiful, but they are scripturally correct. The first thing that is not grammatically beautiful, but is scripturally correct is, of the prodigal son, he got sick of home. The second thing I'll leave with your thinking that is not grammatically beautiful, but is scripturally correct is, he got homesick. The third thing I'll leave with your thinking that is not grammatically beautiful, but scripturally correct is, he got home. Number one, he got sick of home. And there are multiple young people in Smith and Cherokee and Wood and Anderson and Van Zandt and every county in Texas that are literally sick of home today. He got sick of home, first of all, because he was a rebellious son. I read in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, beginning with verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long upon this earth. And any time a young person thinks he has more wisdom and understanding than a Christian father or mother, he's headed for trouble as sure as I stand preaching the Word of God. He was not only rebellious, but he was reckless. I want what's coming to me, and I want it right now. I don't want to wait until Papa dies. I don't want to wait until Mama dies. I do not want to wait for the time of my proper inheritance and my reckless abandon. If you're going to give me anything, you give it to me right now. He was not only rebellious and reckless, he was rough. And I would not be fair if I did not say here we have a little example of a father being overindulgent. And he divided unto them his living. Before the time for the inheritance, before the time for the proper division of the family property, at the demand of this reckless, riotous young man, this father bent and divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, listen now, and took his substance into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Brother Wayne, he had wanted to kick out of the traces. He had wanted to kick up his heels. He had wanted to be Mr. Big. He had wanted to be Mr. Important. He had wanted to be one who could live his life like he wanted to live it, regardless of whom it hurt. And here in a foreign country, everything that his father had worked for and earned and saved to give to him, he poofed to the changing wind. He got sick of home. Somebody told me there was a sign up at Captain the other day that arrested the attention of teenagers and said, "Are you sick of home? Are you tired of being harassed by your old, fogey, old-fashioned, ignorant mother and dad? Leave home. Get out from under their roof. Get you a job, amen. Start paying your bills and buying your groceries. And paying your insurance and your car payments and all your clothing. Be smart. Get away from home." While you're still smart, you understand what I'm talking about. He was rebellious. He was reckless. He wanted to live right. There's a second part. He got homesick. In this foreign country, when he had picked up his heels and spent everything that he had, the Bible says, and he began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now that looks very simple, but you need to look beneath the surface, because this was a Jewish boy in a foreign country, and if there is anything a Jew cannot stand, it is a swine. If there is anything a Jew cannot stand, it's pork. And so this young man says, "I want a job." And this Gentile looked at him, he said, "I have you a job, son. I've got some real stinky, sloppy, messy, nasty hogs. And your job will be to go down to the pig pen and slough them and tend to them every day." And here's that Jewish boy in that hog pen tending to those hogs. And all of a sudden something strikes his mind and strikes his heart, and like mental telepathy, and like the sound waves of television and the electronics of the present day, his mind went back home. And he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And here I am in this foreign land, and I am perishing with hunger." He got homesick. Have any of you ever been homesick? If so, let's see your hand. I've told you this before, but I'm going to tell you again because it fits the sermon. During World War II, I had been on a troop train for over 36 hours without water, and we pulled into a little town, smoky and sooty from the soot of the train, and scrambling out to that train that the group of Marines was on was a whole little village, and this little village had young boys and girls, no young men. They too had gone to war, old women and young women, and bringing every kind of vessel of water to that time. And when I reached out the window to get my vessel of water, there was an old woman looked up at me, Larry, that had a bonnet on her head. That woman with that bonnet on her head lifted that pail of water to me. And my mind went to rural route number 2, Laurel, Mississippi, because my mama always wore a bonnet, and I could see my mama's bonnet on that woman's head as she handed me that drink of water, and this big, tough Marine got homesick. And when the train pulled out of that town, I got between two of the cars and stood there and wept because I was homesick. He got homesick because his wealth was gone. Everything his father had given him had been poofed away. First Timothy 6:10 says, "The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Proverbs 22:1 says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and love and favor rather than silver and gold." And here this young man doesn't have a crying plan, and he's homesick because his wealth is gone. He's homesick because his health is gone. When they sent him to the pig pen to feed swine, the Bible says he would have fain, F-A-I-N, or properly translated from the Greek, he would have greedily filled his belly with the husk that the swine did. He's not just eating the grain, Louise. He's not just eating the grain, Doug. He's willing to eat the husk that wrapped up the grain. His health is gone. He's homesick. He's homesick not only because his wealth and his health is gone, but he is homesick because he makes a comparison between the Father's house and the land that he's in. And I want to draw this down to its deepest meaning. What every one of us needs to do this morning is to look at the Father's house. I'm not talking about Robert E. Lee Brunson's house. I'm not talking about the house of my earthly father. I'm talking about my Father's house. So here in this hog pen, when his wealth is gone, when his health is gone, he makes a comparison between the foreign country and the Father's house. He said it would be better to be a servant in the Father's house than to be down here. And we better recognize today that the blessings are not in the distant land and the cruel world. The blessings are still in the Father's house. So he said, "I will arise and I will go to my father. And I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Listen now. Make me as one of thy hired servants." When he left home, Brad, he said, "Give me, give me, give me, give me the portion of good that falleth to me." But when he started back, he said, "Make me, make me, make me as one of our hired servants." And there is a vast difference between the philosophy of "give me" and "make me." Make me as one of our hired servants. Number three, he got home. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And let's realize this thing about the prodigal getting home. First of all, when he was still a long way off, his father saw him. And when you and I were still strangers to the grace of God, I'm glad the all-seeing eye of an almighty, omnipotent, elective God still saw us. Amen. He saw us when we didn't see him. And that's not all. The Bible says he not only saw him, but he had compassion upon him. The love of God is greater for us than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star. It reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win his erring child. He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong it shall forevermore endure. The saints and angels' songs. He not only saw him, but he had compassion. He loved him. Thank God for the love of God. That's not all, Doug. And he ran. The Father. And fell on his neck and kissed him. And the boy said, Daddy, make me one of your hired servants. Let me go out here in the bar and work. I'm not even fit to go to your table. I'm not even fit to lie in mama's clean bed. Let me go out to the bar and go to work. And that old daddy said, bring forth the best robe. Put it on. Go get the best garment in my house and put it on. Let them 3:9 be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I gave up my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. Bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. That's the righteousness of Christ. And put a ring on his finger. The ring is endless. That's security. That's security. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them what kind of life, you tell me. Eternal life. And not only that, but put some shoes on his feet. And when you're saved by the grace of God, you're going to have some different shoes on your feet. You're going to walk in different places to what you've been walking. You believe that? And go out yonder in the stall where I've had that calf that I've been saving. And I've been feeding that calf grain. It's a stall calf. It's the best calf I have. And go out there and kill it. And that's the best feast we've ever had, because my son was dead. He's alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Don't you thank God we got home? Number 320. Now before we even stand, if you are a prodigal son or daughter, mother or father, you're still a stranger to the grace of God, there's plenty in the Father's house for that.
Amen.
If your church membership is elsewhere, you've been truly saved and scripturally baptized by a New Testament Baptist church, and you're looking for a church home where the gospel is preached, you just walk down these aisles, say, Brother Brunson, the Lord's leading me to this church, and I want to move my letter this morning. If you've been saved and never followed the Lord in scriptural baptism, you know you're saved, but you've never been baptized, and you want to come and say, I'm willing to go all the way, I want to be in the Father's house, then you come this morning. And surely there's at least one who's been walking a guilty distance from God that might want to rededicate his or her life today. Take this home with you. He got sick of home. He got homesick. But thank God he got home. Let's stay.